a terrific collection of aviation history, and tour guides who know the details. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. After the Arlington fly-in in Washington State, I took a side trip with Aero TV's Nathan Cremasino to a few other aviation sites of note in the region. One was the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum in McMinnville, Oregon. This relatively new facility is best known as the home of the Spruce Goose, but there's so much more here. We spent more than 7 hours shooting video features and didn't get it half covered. You'll see the results in upcoming features on Aero TV. In the meantime, I'm going to share some of these interviews in audio form. Today, my guest is Larry Wood, the museum's director of education. Every aircraft in this place has a story, but so does the facility itself. I wanted to start with Larry's personal story.
I spent 30 years in the Marine Corps as a Marine Corps pilot, flew A-4 Skyhawks and T-2 Buckeyes as a flight instructor, and actually C-117s, which is a DC-3 with a square tail, and then taught school for 9 years, and then came here as a docent, and then became the director of education here. And yeah, this is a great place. I love this place.
All the aircraft in a museum like this have great stories behind them, but when you get to a place like this, or Fantasy of Flight, Kermit Weeks Place in Florida, or Concrete Airport in Washington, even, where they have a vintage collection, there's also a great story behind the institution itself. Tell us the background of this museum.
Well, the museum was actually the idea of Michael King Smith, and Michael is Delford Smith's son. Delford Smith owns the Evergreen Company Corporation, and so Michael had these, we had these neat airplanes down in Marana, and Michael said, we ought to put these in a museum and show them off. So it was Michael's idea to have the museum, and Michael's proposal that got the Spruce Goose here. He designed the building and designed the came up with the idea on getting it up here. Unfortunately, Michael was killed in 1995 in an automobile accident. He was a pilot in the Oregon Air National Guard, F-15 pilot, and an automobile accident back east, and he died. The airplane, the Goose, was here, but it was in pieces across the street, so he didn't see the building put together, but he did see the airplane here. So this is his idea, and obviously after Michael died, Mr. Smith took care of it and continues to build it and develop it with, it's a separate thing from the company, don't forget that, but he's the big driving force is Delford Smith. Wonderful man.
Now, the obvious centerpiece of the museum is kind of hard to miss. Yes. Although I'm told there have been tourists who have come in here and said, we came looking for the Spruce Goose. Where is it?
Yeah, that happens. And it happens a lot with school groups. Little kid will say, where's the Spruce Goose? And you kind of go, what's up? And you go, oh, because it is kind of hard to miss. The best view, I think, is to come up at night when the lights are on in the building and it's dark outside, and you see this giant toad sitting in here, and as you get closer you can recognize what it is, that it's the Goose with its wings stuck out, and it is huge. Yes, it's a neat thing to see.
Well, aside from the Spruce Goose, obviously the name of your website and everything else is playing off the Goose, but which is made out of birch, we all know.
Yes.
But what about all the other amazing aircraft here? How did you build a museum around that?
Well, we started off with obviously the ones that belong to the company, the B-17, the P-51, a Corsair, a Spitfire, and later on a Messerschmitt. But we started getting others from on loan from the Air Force Museum, the National Museum of Naval Aviation, the Marine Corps Museum, also some that we've acquired from the GAO, newer ones. We've had people donate them to this. So the collection right now is about 105, but it's growing all the time. They're not all on display here. For instance, our T-28's been down in Marana in Arizona chasing the company super tanker around, which is a water firefighter made out of a 747. So, but most of the rest of them are here. We have a restoration shop in Marana. We have a restoration shop here. And so we can just about do whatever we want with whatever we can get our hands on. But the more modern airplanes are all on loan and are from the GAO. They're scrap, and we put them back together again and made them look like what they were before they started. So it's a fantastic collection of airplanes, yes.
Now, it would not be commercially feasible to do this on a basis where you were using all paid help and commercial facilities. I mean, it would be ludicrously out of the question, unfeasible. Tell us about the volunteers and how they're brought together in an organization to do a restoration like the Spruce Goose.
Well, the Spruce Goose itself was actually restored by 12 guys, one director, one guy who got paid. And those volunteers are older than I am, and I'm not exactly 25 anymore. So a remarkable group. There are 300 and some volunteers in the museum, and the restoration section is about 20, I think, total. And they do most of the stuff, most of the restoration. The goose itself came here from Long Beach by barge and was put across the street in what looked like a giant greenhouse covered in plastic. And the docents stripped all the paint off, refabric covered all the flight controls, which is, when you look at them, they're quite large. And then repainted the whole airplane in the original silver, restored the November X-ray marking for experimental. And actually did some wood replacement. There was some dry rot in the airplane, despite being made out of birch. And they did that all across the street before the airplane was brought over here. We got it up here in 1991, and it came across the street in 2001 when the airplane, when the museum actually opened. And actually on D-Day 2001, 6th of June, we opened the museum, and the airplane was, the goose was put together. Finished on the 7th of December in 2001, the 60th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, of course. And so, yeah, the guys that work across the street are really fun to watch. And they range in, you know, from their 50s retired military to technicians that have worked for the company to just about anybody that's interested and has the capability to do that. Our docents we're very proud of. There are about 300 total here. And unlike most museums, they don't have a script. So they tend to tell their own stories. And so every time you go through with a different docent, you'll get a different set of stories about the airplanes, and you'll get a different, you know, sometimes they adopt other people's stories. But nonetheless, it's different every time you get it. And they're really fun. A lot of articles that I've read about the museum comment that the docents are part of the attraction. We have a World War II fighter pilot, a guy who flew P-38s three times on D-Day, Stan Richardson. We have Russell Barney, who was a squadron commander, B-17 squadron commander, and then who flew bird dogs in Korea, and then A-26s out of Thailand as an air commando in Vietnam. We have several guys that were gunners and other people like that. So it is a remarkable group. Lots of Korean War veterans, some people like me, Vietnam veterans. And you don't have to be a veteran, though, to be a docent. You just have to have kind of an interest. And we'll teach you what you need to know. And you can make up, no, you don't make up stories. You can steal your own stories from somebody else. We kid people about we make things up, but that's not true. They're all things that have happened to somebody. And we do have standard things that we'll say. We'll talk about the goose, obviously, and how it got here and things like that. But for the most part, they're things that we've kind of adapted into our spiel and are kind of ours, if you want. And those are passed on to the new guys as they show up. So if you live locally and you want to be a volunteer, we got a deal for you, yes.
In a moment, more with Larry Wood, Director of Education for the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to the special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack with Larry Wood, Director of Education for the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum in McMinnville, Oregon. Institutions like this could not run without volunteers. It has to be at least as rewarding as it is demanding, because they keep coming back.
Obviously, it's lots of fun. You get to be on stage. You get to tell stories and kind of entertain people. But more remarkable, I think, is the camaraderie among the docents themselves. This is kind of the high point of the week for them. You get to hang around and talk about airplanes, and it's a whole lot of fun. And ladies, too. There are, obviously, we have ladies, too. I'm not politically correct always. But it is fun. And I, when I got hired to be the director of education, one of the caveats to Mr. Smith was that I'm allowed to be a docent again on Fridays, because it's way too much fun. So I don't get paid on Fridays. I'm here as a volunteer, and it really is enjoyable. It's fun to meet the people. It's fun to talk to the kids. It's fun to give the history, and it's fun to talk about the airplanes. And so there's history here, and it is really neat to talk about kids, about the number of airplanes we built in the Second World War. I don't think most of the population in the United States knows how many thousands and thousands of airplanes were built in the United States during the Second War. And we talk about recycling today, but we don't peel the tinfoil off the gum wrappers anymore and that kind of thing like they did in the Second World War. So it is remarkable to pass that history, and it's so much more fun if it comes from somebody who was there. And so to come and hear Russell Barney talk about the B-17 is just... You know, I've heard him several times, and I'm fascinated every time I hear it. It's just wonderful.
There's enough here to spend at least a day if you're an aviation buff, just looking at stuff. But I know that in a project like this, you never really consider it done. Are there any particular things on the list for the museum that you want to get in here that are not here yet?
Well, we're obviously put in our application to get a space shuttle. And that's going to be a very difficult decision for the decision makers, and an expensive proposition, and it will be a real project to undertake. But we specifically designed the space museum, the other half of the museum, to put the space shuttle in. The floor is reinforced. It's climate controlled. The doors are big enough to bring it in the back door without taking it apart. We have other airplanes under restoration. Mr. Smith is always looking for something in addition, and so is our curator. We're looking at a B-29 plus a B-52 possibly, several things along that line, big airplanes, as well as some older helicopters, some really strange pieces of equipment. Plus, we have some other things coming. We just were donated a Formula One racer that should be coming, and so there are lots of things going on. And you're right, it is like Disneyland. It'll never be finished.
Well, now, a space shuttle, at least you can bring it in as close as Klamath Falls before you have to take it apart and put it on a truck.
Well, one of the things that NASA has said is that you can't take it apart. So it has to come in to where your museum is, which is a handicap here. The field across the street isn't long enough, but we can make more runway if it gets down to that. And so obviously that'll be part of the project. If we were selected, and if we do put in a formal proposal, part of the proposal will to be make the runway long enough to land the shuttle. And it's about 8,000 feet to do that. And of course, we've operated that airplane for NASA for some years, and actually have been don't own the 747 that carries the shuttle, but we've been the guys that have operated it before. So
now you're confusing the two companies again.
Oh, well, the company, I'm sorry. Not the museum, the company. Never mind. The company is a separate entity. It's a 501c3, which is a nonprofit. Mr. Smith is obviously on our board of directors, and our decisions are made by our board of directors. But of course, he's Mr. Smith, and you know, if he wants to get an airplane, we're going to get that airplane. And but we are separate. We don't rely on them for financial help anymore, and that's very important. Everybody know that. What we depend on is admissions and grants and the normal things that would keep a nonprofit museum running, and we're doing okay.
All right, final question. You're located near the Portland, Oregon metro area. PDX would be a great place to fly in commercially. It's easy to get here by road. If someone wants to come from far away, and this feature is going to go all over the world, what would you say in a 30-second commercial to tell them what the highlight is, other than the spruce goose, about the Evergreen Aviation Museum?
Well, in 30 seconds in a commercial, I would say, quite frankly, the whole collection is amazing. And the Space Museum, obviously, is a wonderful addition to this. But if you said, what's the most important thing? Well, the docents. I think the opportunity to talk to a bunch of guys that have been there, done that, got the t-shirt, is way, way more important than seeing a bunch of static airplanes someplace. The airplanes are remarkable, but the guys that actually worked on them and flew them and did things like that, and we have space cadets next door that actually fired Titan missiles and worked for NASA and did all that kind of stuff, and I think they're the most important asset, and I would say that's our number one reason to show up, is to see us. And I mean, by that, me, when I've got my docent vest on, it is a wonderful place to visit.
Well, Larry, you've got a great job. We look forward to hearing more from you. Our viewers will, in the future, in the coming weeks, see more about individual airplanes in your collection. And thanks for taking the time today.
My pleasure again, and please come back anytime. I love this place, and it's a great place to show off.
The Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum has a URL that's easy to remember, www.sprucegoose.org. Larry Williams is the museum's director of education. He'll be back with us in future episodes to tell us more about some of the amazing aircraft on display. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.